Welcome to day 78 of Seeking a Path to the Good Life, a walk through the Bible in a year. Let us return to the Hebrew Bible, reading Judges 20 to 21. The other tribes attacked Benjamin. Then all the Israelites came out from Dan to Beersheba, including the land of Gilead, and the congregation assembled in one body before the Lord at Mizpah. The chiefs of all the people of all the tribes of Israel presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 foot soldiers bearing arms. Now the Benjaminites heard that the Israelites had gone up to Mizpah, and the Israelites said, "Tell us, how did this criminal act come about?" The Levite, the husband of the woman who was murdered, answered, "I came to Gibeah that belongs to Benjamin, I and my concubine, to spend the night. The lords of Gibeah rose up against me and surrounded the house at night. They intended to kill me, and they raped my concubine until she died. Then I took my concubine and cut her into pieces and sent her throughout the whole extent of Israel's territory, for they have committed a vile outrage in Israel. So now, you Israelites, all of you, give your advice and counsel here." All the people got up as one, saying, "We will not, any of us, go to our tents, nor will any of us return to our houses. But now this is what we will do to Gibeah. We will go up against it by lot. We will take 10 men of 100 throughout all the tribes of Israel, and 100 of 1,000, and 1,000 of 10,000, to bring provision for the troops who will go to repay Gibeah of Benjamin for all the disgrace that they have done in Israel." So all the men of Israel gathered against the city, united as one. The tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribes of Benjamin, saying, "What crime is this that has been committed among you? Now then, hand over those scoundrels in Gibeah so that we may put them to death and purge the evil from Israel." But the Benjaminites would not listen to their kinfolks, the Israelites. The Benjaminites came together out of the towns of Gibeah to go out to battle against the Israelites. On that day, the Benjaminites mustered 26,000 armed men from their towns, beside the inhabitants of Gibeah, who mustered 700 picked men. Of all this force, there were 700 picked men who were left-handed. Every one could sling a stone at a hare and not miss. And the Israelites, apart from Benjamin, mustered 400,000 armed men, all of them warriors. The Israelites proceeded to go up to Bethel, where they inquired of God, "Which of us shall go up first to battle against the Benjaminites?" And the Lord answered, "Judah shall go up first." Then the Israelites got up in the morning and encamped against Gibeah. The Israelites went out to battle against Benjamin, and the Israelites drew up the battle line against them at Gibeah. The Benjaminites came out of Gibeah and struck down on that day 22,000 of the Israelites. The Israelites strengthened themselves and again formed the battle line in the same place where they had formed it on the first day. So the Israelites advanced against the Benjaminites the second day. Benjamin moved out against them from Gibeah the second day and struck down 18,000 of the Israelites, all of them armed men. Then all the Israelites and the whole army went back to Bethel and wept, sitting there before the Lord. They fasted that day until evening. Then they offered burnt offerings and sacrifices of well-being before the Lord. And the Israelites inquired of the Lord, for the Ark of the Covenant of God was there in those days. And Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, ministered before it in those days, saying, "Shall we go out once more to battle against our kinfolk, the Benjaminites, or should we desist?" The Lord answered, "Go up, for tomorrow I will give them into your hand." So Israel stationed men in ambush around Gibeah. Then the Israelites went up against the Benjaminites on the third day and set them in array against Gibeah as before. When the Benjaminites went out against the army, they were drawn away from the city. As before, they began to inflict casualties on the troops along the main road. one of which goes up to Bethel and the other to Gibeah, as well as in the open country, killing about 30 men of Israel. The Benjaminites thought, they are being routed before us as previously. But the Israelites said, let us retreat and draw them away from the city towards the roads. The main body of the Israelites drew back its battle lines to Baal Tamar, while those Israelites who were in ambush rushed out of their place west of Geba. There came against Gibeah 10,000 picked men out of all of Israel, and the battle was fierce, but the Benjaminites did not realize that disaster was close upon them. The Lord defeated Benjamin before Israel, and the Israelites struck down 25,100 men of Benjamin that day, all of them armed. Then the Benjaminites saw that they were defeated. The Israelites gave ground to Benjamin because they relied on the troops in ambush that had stationed against Gibeah. The troops in ambush rose quickly upon Gibeah. Then they put the whole city to the sword. Now the agreement between the main body of Israel and the men in ambush was that when they sent up a cloud of smoke out of the city, the main body of Israel should turn in battle. But Benjamin had begun to inflict casualties on the Israelites, killing about 30 of them. So they thought, surely they are defeated before us as in battle. But when the cloud, a column of smoke, began to rise out of the city, the Benjaminites looked behind them, and there was the whole city going up in smoke towards the sky. Then the main body of Israel turned, and the Benjaminites were dismayed, for they saw that disaster was close upon them. Therefore, they turned away from the Israelites in the direction of the wilderness, but the battle overtook them, and those who came out of the city were striking them down in between. Surrounding the Benjaminites, they pursued them from Noah and trod them down as far as a place east of Gibeah. 18,000 Benjaminites fell, all of them courageous fighters. When they turned and fled towards the wilderness to the Rock of Rimmon, 5,000 of them were cut down on the main roads, and they were pursued as far as Gidom, and 2,000 of them were slain. So all who fell that day of Benjamin were 25,000 arms bearing men, all of them courageous fighters, but 600 turned and fled towards the wilderness to the Rock of Rimmon, and remained at the Rock of Rimmon for 4 months. Meanwhile, the Israelites turned back against the Benjaminites and put them to the sword. The city, the people, the animals, and all that remained, also the remaining towns, they set on fire. The Benjaminites saved from extinction. Now the Israelites had sworn to at Mizpah, no one of us shall give his daughter in marriage to Benjamin. And the people came to Bethel and sat there until evening before God, and they lifted up their voices and wept bitterly. They said, O Lord, the God of Israel, why is it come to pass that today there shall be one tribe lacking in Israel? On the next day, the people got up early and built an altar there and offered burnt offerings and sacrifices of well-being. Then the Israelites said, who out of the tribes of Israel did not come up in the assembly to the Lord? For a solemn oath has been taken concerning whoever did not come up to the Lord to Mizpah, saying that one shall be put to death. But the Israelites had compassion for Benjamin, their kin, and said, one tribe is cut off from Israel this day. What shall we do for wives for those who are left, since we have sworn by the Lord that we will not give them any of our daughters as wives? Then they said, is there anyone from the tribes of Israel who did not come up to the Lord to Mizpah? And it turned out that no one from Jabesh Gilead had come to the camp, to the assembly. For when the roll was called among the people, no, not one of the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead was there. So the congregation sent 12,000 soldiers there and commanded them, go put the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead to the sword, including the women and the little ones. This is what you shall do. Every male and every woman who has lain with a male, you shall devote to destruction. And they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead 400 young virgins who had never slept with a man, and brought them to the camp at Shiloh, which is the land of Canaan. Then the whole congregation sent word to the Benjaminites who were at the Rock of Rimmon and proclaimed peace to them. Benjamin returned at that time, and they gave them the women who had saved alive of the women of Jabesh Gilead, but they did not suffice for them. The people had compassion on Benjamin because the Lord had made a breach in the tribes of Israel. So the elders of the congregation said, "What shall we do for wives for those who are left, since there are no women left in Benjamin?" And they said, "There must be heirs for the survivors of Benjamin in order that a tribe may not be blotted out from Israel. Yet we cannot give any of our daughters to them as wives." For the Israelites had sworn, "Cursed be anyone who gives a wife to Benjamin." So they said, "Look, the yearly festival of the Lord is taking place at Shiloh, which is north of Bethel, on the east of the highway that goes from Bethel to Shechem and south of Lebanon." And they instructed the Benjaminites, saying, "Go and lie in wait in the vineyards and watch. When the young women of Shiloh come out to dance in the dances, then come out of the vineyards, and each of you carry off a wife for himself from the young women of Shiloh, and go to the land of Benjamin. Then if their fathers or their brothers come to complain to us, we will say to them, 'Be generous and allow us to have them, because we did not capture in battle a wife for each man, but neither did you incur guilt by giving your daughters to them.' The Benjaminites did so. They took wives for each of them from the dancers whom they abducted. Then they went and returned to their territory and rebuilt the towns and lived in them. So the Israelites departed from there at that time, by tribes and families, and they went out from there in their own territories. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and all the people did what was right in their own eyes." As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? Judges has been a challenging book for me. I find that almost all that happens to be antithetical to my sense of how we should interact with one another. Judges relays the history of Israel and the rule of multiple kings. I am sensing a theme of humans' desire for a king, and yet the evil that comes from serving other humans. Now let us move to 1 Peter 1 through 3. "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen and destined by God the Father and sanctified by the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in abundance, a living hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth and a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. If this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophet who prophesied of the grace intended for you made careful search and inquiry, inquiring about the time and circumstances that the Spirit of Christ within them indicated when it testified in advance to the sufferings intended for Christ and the subsequent glory. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in regard to the things that have been now announced to you through those who brought you good news by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look, a call to holy living. Therefore, prepare your minds for action, discipline yourselves, set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct, for it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' If you invoke as Father the one who judges impartially according to each person's work, live in fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile conduct inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him, you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your trust and hope are in God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual affection, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever. That word is the good news that was announced to you. The living stone and a chosen people. Rid yourselves, therefore, of all malice and all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. This honor then is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe. A stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobeyed the word as they were destined to do. But as a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Live as servants of God. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and exiles to abstain from the desires of the flesh that wage war against the soul. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles so that though they malign you as evildoers, you may see your honorable deeds and glorify God when he comes to judge. For the Lord's sake, be subject to every human authority, whether to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to praise those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing right you shall be silenced the ignorance of the foolish. As servants of God, live as free people, yet do not use your freedom as a pretext for evil. Honor everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor. The example of Christ's suffering. Slaves, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only those who are good and gentle, but those who are dishonest. For it is a commendable thing if, being aware of God, a person endures pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do good and suffer for it, that is a commendable thing before God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins on his body on the cross, so that having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Wives and husbands. Wives, in the same way, be subject to your husbands, so that even if some of them do not obey the word, they may be won over without a word by their wives' conduct. When they see the purity and respect of your conduct, do not adorn yourselves outwardly by braiding your hair and by wearing gold ornaments or fine clothing. Rather, let your adornment be the inner self with the lasting beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in God's sight. It was in this way long ago that the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by being subject to their husbands. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham and called him Lord. You have become her daughter, as long as you do what is good and never let fears alarm you. Husbands, in the same way, show consideration for your wives and your life together, paying honor to the woman, though the weaker vessel. They are joint heirs of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing may hinder your prayers. Suffering for doing right. Finally, all of you have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing. It is for that you are called, that you might inherit a blessing. For those who desire to love life and to see good days, let them keep their tongues from evil and their lips from speaking deceit. Let them turn away from evil and do good. Let them seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your heart sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an account for the hope, an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Maintain a good conscience so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering shall be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteousness for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he also went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight lives, were saved through water and baptism, which this prefigured now saves you, not a removal of dirt from the body, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? The verses, "Slaves, be subject to your master with all respect," is one that can be troublesome, especially when thought about within the context of American slavery and how it has been used to oppress. I'm reminded of something I recently heard when a Palestinian spoke of the importance of knowing who you are, of knowing that you are a child of God. She stated that when she is treated with disrespect, is oppressed and abused, she smiles because she knows who she is and nobody can take away the divinity that is within her. Perhaps that is the guidance that we are being offered here. Let's end our time in prayer. Our Father, who is in the skies, may your name be recognized as holy. May your kingdom come and may your will be done as it is in the skies, so also on the land. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also forgive those indebted to us. Don't lead us into the test, but deliver us from the evil one.